Good morning, everyone. Stefan here, your Digital Commando, and welcome to episode 32 of the Digital Commando Show. So today, it's Web Wednesday. So what do we talk about on Web Wednesday? We look at what makes a great website. Then we'll go on to how to drive traffic to your website. And then finally, we'll talk about using affiliates, brand ambassadors, and influencers. And I've got another fantastic guest for you today. So let's bring him into the room. Today we have Matthew from Sparks, and he does web design and development. So let's get him into the room. Hi, Matthew, how you doing?
Hi, how you doing? All right.
Thank you very much for joining me on the show. Guys, we've just covered what we're going to be talking about. Matthew's going to introduce himself in just a second, but remember what I always say. We like to pay it forward on the show. So if you know anybody that you think can benefit from getting some web design tips or learn more about driving traffic to the website or using influencers, ambassadors, and affiliates, then please do tag them in the comments and share the whole stream with them so they can watch it on the replay. So Matt, for those that don't know you, give everybody a intro to you and your company and what you guys do.
I'm a graphic designer. That's what I started off doing. Draw little pretty pictures for flyers when I was 16. Went off to university to carry on doing that. And then while I was there, the internet turned up and I learned all about that. And ever since then, I've kind of worked on my own and solved people's problems. Don't say no to anything. And if I don't know about it, I'll go and find out about it. And in that time, I've done logo and branding from everything from snooker cues to remote control cars to nightclubs. And then, of course, the internet. Along with that, I've been doing websites and development of platforms, entrances to nightclubs, ticket systems, all sorts of things. I never say no, like I said. So, it's, you know, whatever, you know, you can do anything you want to. So I'm willing to have a go. And I've been doing it for 20 years. Pretty much.
Ooh, oh, fantastic. I actually did check out your portfolio before, and you have worked on quite a lot of the pubs and clubs that I go to. I won't put them in because some of them have changed names. I can't remember what they're called anymore. But I've seen some of that, and the work is absolutely fantastic. So that's great to see. So let's jump straight into our first topic of the day. Guys, we're going to be talking about what makes a good website, what makes a great website. And now feel free to ask questions throughout the show, and we'll see them come up on the side, and if they're relevant, then we will bring them up and we'll put them to Matt and myself. So feel free to drop your questions in. Matt, the what makes a good website? Now this is such a broad, we could literally probably spend hours talking about this. So it is quite a broad subject, but for those that are thinking about building a website at the minute, or they're looking to go into putting a concept together to take to a web designer, what are the things that people should be really thinking about in regards to what makes a really good website?
Themselves and what and how they work. There are a million companies doing a million things exactly the same, but depending on how you run your office and how you like to go out in your van or how you like to talk to your customers, that is how, that is what you need to translate into your website. You shouldn't try and copy somebody else's model unless you are literally copying somebody else's model. But if you need to basically translate what you do into the world, basically, and the way you communicate, the wording, everything about the way the website looks, the way it feels, should be the way you feel, the way you sound, the way you talk. That's obviously a massive thing in itself. Other than that, all the obvious things, it needs to work on a mobile phone, it needs to be fast loading, you need to keep it up to date, you need to create content for it, you need to sing about yourself and about the subject that you're selling, and keep it up to date, all the obvious things. But most importantly, you do need to be yourself. I know that sounds a bit of a strange thing to say, but it is. You know, everybody runs their company differently. They talk to their customers. They are used to getting their customers in a certain way, and they should try to start with to do that. Websites are never finished. Never finished. You should never think of a website ever being finished. It's always going to evolve. Your customers are going to come to you. You're going to have a new customer come to you and say something to you you've not heard before. That's how they got to you. First thing you should do is pocket that. Right, then translate that. How can I put that onto my website? And you should always keep evolving, researching and seeing what other people are doing. Keep evolving. They're the main the main things, other than all the obvious stuff that I'm sure a million people have told you, keeping it fast up to date and all the obvious things. But it's never finished. Never finished. You should always keep looking at it, always keep checking it and seeing what, you know, how else you could excite somebody else or import somebody else into your world. The last thing, that these are the three main things. Sorry, I haven't been very clear. There's three main things. If somebody's coming to you for a car tire, that's what they want. So when they arrive at your homepage, they want to be able to get to car tire for their Vauxhall Nova now, please. That's what they want to do. That is so important. And a lot of people don't think about that. They sell themselves in these beautiful locations, their beautiful world and the beautiful thing that people have already kind of accepted that. They've got their, within seconds, if they're willing to click on something else, they've accepted all that. So don't go on about it anymore. We're cool here. Get them to the thing they want to get to. They are basically the three main things that I've probably gone on a bit more, but yeah, they are the main things about your website, really.
That's really key. I think that's something that no one's ever brought up with us on the show, is the kind of be yourself part of it. But I think that is so important. And you'll agree with me, from a branding point of view, one of the things that we hate, I know from our point of view, and we've done websites for, is we hate stock. Like stock photography, stuff that makes things look silly, corporate, and just doesn't give you any relationship to the customer. There's nothing that anybody can relate to. There's no, sometimes no people on the website, and that sort of stuff. Like from us, when we build stuff, we always get photographers involved. We're like, you need to have some photography. And I love that, because instantly people can go, do you know what? I'm seeing the actual people that are in the business, and people like people. And I really, really
honesty. Like it. It's about honesty. If somebody, obviously, I've done websites for window cleaners, and I've done websites for car companies. Big difference. Car companies got beautiful studios. Window cleaner is like, well, I've got a phone. I said, yeah, cool. But if you have a photograph that you've taken on your phone with your staff or you in it on a window that you've done, then that's the truth. So when you turn up at the job, that's the guy that I saw on the website. That's hello. Yeah, hi, mate. How you doing? That's all trust, honestly. That is, people actually respect that more. It's a bit of a wall when you've got stock photographs. If you're a big chain like McDonald's, you're allowed to have stock photographs. You're allowed. It's fine. But if you're a small company that have got a small little office, but you're trying to be big, then that's also fine. But be honest, you're being big. Look, this is our office now. We're trying to be big. Yeah. You know, we've got a really nice brand, but obviously we've had it printed out and stuck on the wall. Well, that's fine. Yeah, you know, but you know, it's about that, the truth. You can see through it very quickly. And I've had customers come to me and say, oh, somebody stole my photographs. Don't worry about it. They don't. No. Because it's your van in the background and it's obviously photoshopped out, isn't it? Yeah. Do you think normal people can't see that? Because they can. Even if it's subconsciously, there's something wrong here. Why is this wrong? You know, doesn't fit with who they are, really. So, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. We look. I think that's it. Having that element of where people can relate to the brand and see that and connect with you on another level is so key. So when we look at obviously creating a great website, then we look at things like, okay, once we've got a great website, everything's kind of up and running. Then we go to, right, I used to use a saying when I used to go to networking events and people were like, what do you do? And I used to say, well, if you imagine having a house party, you can build the most amazing house in the world. You've got everybody in, everything in there. You've got the top DJs and the place looks fantastic, but you're never going to have the best house party in the world unless people know how to get there. And we used to go, that's it. Well, we obviously do marketing, so we say we bring the people to the party. But you've got to have a cool party to bring people to. So once we've kind of got the website and that's all working really, really well, then we talk about obviously driving traffic. And this, again, it's such a big subject to kind of talk about. But I know we've had a question coming from Sarah Gibson. You're mentioning SEO. We'll come on to that as well, I guess. So SEO, paid traffic, social media. What advice have you got for people, Matthew, that you think that is a great way to drive traffic to a website?
Content. You know, at the end of the day, if you are keeping on top, if you're going out every day and doing something, cutting somebody's hair or whatever, you're taking photographs, you're creating content, and you're putting that out there. Now, there's millions of mediums. You know all the usual suspects, you know, but putting it out there is the most important thing. I mean, I don't do it enough. There you go. I mean, I should do. I preach it, but I don't do it enough. You know, it's probably because I'm trying to do it for other people. But it is very important. You know, it doesn't matter how small it is that you add to your website or add to the world, or add to your general output. It's still coherently coming back to you. And that will always drive traffic. But sharing stuff broadly is the key. And it doesn't matter what format or medium that is at all. But the more times you appear, it's just down to numbers. And not all of your customers are going to have a Facebook account. You can't put everything into Facebook. Not all of your customers are going to have an Instagram account. Some people don't even like that sort of stuff, and they actually just want to use Google. You know, some people still use the Yellow Pages. You know, you have to, if you can't do all of them, you have to decide which your best group is. And that may not be straightforward. You might have to, you know, do some research on that and see what happens. But you might have to choose one, because they are the age group that are willing to buy your thing, you know, or to go with your spray on whatever, and commit to that. You might have to commit and lose a bit, but then you will learn. You're not gonna hit it first time straight away. That's another thing.
I think this is one of the things that we look at as it originally. I think for anybody that's building a new site, or maybe as a new company as well, probably more apparent to people that have a new company, is that we can always think we kind of know who our target audience is, and we'll do a bit of a guesstimate, but the traffic, that initial part of your marketing, when you are looking at whether that is SEO or again paid traffic through Google or anybody else, social media, anything like that, you've got to think of the first few months as a bit of an investment to get knowledge. And this is so key. Matthew would agree with me. I think that most of the stuff we do is very data driven. We don't make changes based on, oh, we're just going to change the color of that button on the website because it looks better to us.
Yeah.
It's normally for a reason. And when you change stuff, you do an A-B testing. For anybody who's familiar with A-B testing, we might put up two pages. And one page, some half people will go one page, half will go to the other, and we'll see which different things work on the pages really, really well.
We can use
heat mapping and all that sort of stuff. But that really, really works. So I would always say try and make data-driven changes when it comes to pretty much anything, really.
Guide everything. I mean, somebody's obviously asked about SEO. SEO is not one thing. I know, and there's SEO experts out there, and there's many SEO arguments out there. But SEO is really actually looking at all of it. And when I said right at the beginning of this, it's all the usual suspects, like making sure your website loads quickly. Yeah, that's a big thing. People don't joke about that. That's a really big thing. Your website needs to load. The important stuff needs to load quickly. It needs to work on all the formats out there. One of the things that happens is that people obviously sit on the toilet at work, and the wife's been nagging them about some curtain rails, right? So they're on flipping phone. Then they go home, and they're going to pick up. He or she is going to pick up the next device to show their partner. That could be an iPad. That could be a laptop. But that's a different format. And if all those different versions don't sing the same song sheet and look the same and work the same and work on all those formats, you've lost them. This wasn't the website I saw earlier, but I don't know. You've just lost that customer. So SEO is, yes, it's the words. Not that anybody reads the words, only Google. Let's make that clear. Nobody actually reads websites, really. They just arrive at the thing they think that does the thing they want. Then they look at some pictures and go, yeah, that looks like they know what they're talking about. They might read a couple of the big headings, and then they're looking for the button that they want to buy it or order it or get the next bit. But Google reads all those words. So unfortunately, yeah, words are important. But SEO is all of these things. Right back to the thing you mentioned about stock photographs. Do the photographs match? The wording? Have they just copied it from somewhere else? All these things are SEO. It's not just putting metadata in, keywords, and clever titles at the top of the page. It is that, but it's all the other things that we've been talking about today as well. And that is, you know, people need to take that away. If that's one thing you're going to take away from this little chat we're having today. That is it. Don't think of SEO just being a thing that you turn on. It's not a thing you turn on. And you can't just pay for it. No. Yeah, you pay for bits of it. Yeah, you pay this guy to do that for me, pay these guys to do that for me. But then you also got to be aware of the whole brand as one and gelling it all together. You have to take ownership. And if you, as the business owner, can't take ownership, then you have to be willing to pass that buck on to somebody you trust. Somebody like me, there's loads of us out there, right? Can you do it for me, please? Because I don't get it. That's fine. That's also totally acceptable. But you do have to take responsibility. You can't just expect it to be and turn on and just pay. You have to kind of concentrate a little bit around that.
Yeah, and I can agree with you.
That's okay.
Yeah, but SEO is such a broad term as well. You're absolutely right. That is, if anybody thinks of that back to when they were at school and used to go to chemistry lessons, if anybody remembers like the periodic table and you've got all those different elements, we've got one of those. It's exactly, we actually do use it for SEO to explain it to people. And there are like 52 elements of SEO as well. I don't know if that's how many elements there are. I was rubbish at chemistry.
We'll roll with that. It's fine.
It was a good guess. So there's so many elements. Everything from how many times your brand is mentioned on the internet is part of SEO. If you've got links coming from Facebook and social proof from social media sites, forums, that stuff. So
that comments works. You make places. You know, if you leave a comment, you leave your website address underneath it. Well, this guy obviously knows what he's talking about. I've seen his name before. This, all these little tiny iterations all build up.
Absolutely. Obviously, there's the on-site stuff. Make sure that when you build a website, this is one of the things that you don't get when you build a website yourself. And this is something to kind of warn people about. If you are going to jump onto Wix or anybody like that and build yourself a website, you're not going to have the ability. Normally, and I say this roughly, 9 times out of 10, probably 9 times out of 100, you're probably not going to have the ability to rank that website on your own with zero SEO experience onto the front page of Google unless you've got like zero competition.
That does happen. I have had that. That has happened. I've had a customer, he actually sold spy equipment. He sold, about 15 years ago now. I mean, obviously life has moved on. It's been more difficult now, but it was still quite a big thing then. And he, you know, he came to me, I sell clocks with camera phones. Cameras in and mics and little Nokia phones in the back that send this, you up, mate? And he goes, I want to build a shopping site. I was like, yeah, we're done here, mate. We're done. And he sold, true story, he lived at home with his mum. He was about 45. He sold his car to pay me. And I nearly didn't do the job because I was so concerned that he was just putting all these eggs in one basket. And I was probably about, you know, I was much younger then. I was maybe a bit more naive and a bit more cautious. And 2 weeks later he phoned me up and I said, all right, where are you? He goes, I'm in Spain. What are you doing? Are you following somebody? Because he did private investigating. I said, you following somebody? He goes, no, I was looking for a house. What do you mean a house? A house what, to buy? Yeah, man. I was like, no way. And that was it. He literally within 2 weeks, I mean, that's the only one that's a true story. That's the only one I've got in my whole lifetime. But he had no competition at that point in time. You put in any sort of spy equipment, and that was him. It was just him. There was nobody, and he just. So yes, it does happen, but it is rare.
It is very rare.
Yeah,
much better if you've got a good website and you generally then can compete. But this is the good thing. When people do niche into that sort of stuff, you see so many, there's so many kind of really great stories from it. And we'll talk about some of that when we're going to kind of influencer marketing and stuff as well, how we can drive traffic really fast. But just out of curiosity, Matt, now, obviously, we've been working in web design for nowhere near as long as you. I think we're coming up to about 8 years. Now, we have had some very, very weird requests. Like some of them I can't, because this is a daytime show. I can't say it out loud. If anybody wants to ask in private, I'll tell them. But
yeah, I've got a couple of corkers.
Really? Have you got any that you can share that are funny enough that we can do it at 11:24 at the daytime?
There are a couple of that are inappropriate for general viewing, if you see what I mean. But yeah. I did have somebody spend basically 2 weeks of his life contacting me, trying to get me to build Facebook. I was like, mate, what do you mean? He goes, I've got this idea for a platform that we can, you know, people can share stuff. And I was like, okay. And he went on and he was like, what, like Facebook? Yeah, yeah, it's like Facebook, but it's better.
Is it?
Okay, mate. Well, okay, fine. That's cool. So what's your budget? Because they probably have, I don't know, a team of 30 people in a room constantly working on it and developing it, being paid, I don't know, 50, 60,000 a year. Well, where are you going with this, mate? Where's your budget? But he would literally, I went on for 2 weeks. And in the end, I was like, please, I'm going to have to block your phone number. I can't help you. Phone somebody else.
Mm.
But he obviously liked me in some way and he would not let it go. Yeah.
That's really.
I've had a couple of old ladies that have come to me with, and a lovely lady. She did all meditation.
Yeah.
Doing it a long time. Knew what she's talking about. And her daughter had said, look, you need to go online, darling. Okay. So somebody said, there's a nice chap we know called Matthew. He's a really nice bloke, Matthew Sparks. He'll look after you. So I looked after her, built her a little website. Off she goes. Mm-hmm. And then about 6 months later, she comes to me and she goes, Matthew, this website hasn't, I hasn't done anything. And I said, oh. She goes, yes. Now, I get people calling me about my work a lot more. I get a lot of more people calling me about my work. Uh-huh. And I said, she goes, yes. But my daughter said, I ought to check my emails. Okay, yeah. Love. So I talked her through it, and she had something like 350 emails. And it was just like all people that wanted to use her. And she was like, oh, my gosh, you know. And it was just like, so even though I that was my mistake, that I learned something from that. I'd looked after her, and then I just assumed at that point that she'd be okay. I didn't follow up enough. I mean, that was years ago. I've learned from that mistake. But no, yeah. You know, she got it and gone home.
Yeah.
That was a done deal. I've done it now. It's like, no, people are going to now contact you through this email thing. And I thought, and even though I'd set her up and she was gone, she never checked it the day that she left my house. It was just like,
oh bless her.
No, but yeah. I've had people tell things that were very close to the law.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been quite interesting. This one I can tell you. So it's a guy I know. He made a boat, this boat, little speedboat. But the runners, whatever the correct term is, not a boating person, were filled with these bags of air. And he could deflate them and it would sink underwater.
Hmm.
I can't remember the name. If I remember the name, I'll tell you. But this thing would sink into the water, and the little electric motors would then go around in the water. So it was a boat and a submarine, literally off James Bond. So we brought him this website, and off he goes. He's been trying. He tried to get, he got investment and whatnot. You know, he needed a website to go and get investment, blue chip company, blah, blah, blah. And then he got, on his analytics for Google, was basically... the FBI or some big government organization, and he eventually got an email saying, who are you selling this to?
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they were like, well, mate, what you've made there is something that could basically put four guys on with scuba gear on, under the water, under something, to go and spy or put something blowy up, you know, and then
yeah.
You know, that's like, we were like, ah, you know, he was selling it as a leisure craft for people with big yachts to put on the back of their yacht. This was not, you know, so that was quite corking.
That's
word and stuff quite pretty cool. Quickly.
I would buy one of them. That would be so good. We could.
I tried to get one.
Yeah, if you find out who it is, let me know. That sounds wicked.
Yeah. If I can't remember now, I will definitely put it in the comments later at some point.
Definitely, that'll keep an eye out for that. But yeah, there's so many weird requests. We used to be on bark.com. We used to get quite a lot
through Bark.
Weird, such a weird setup.
That is just a price battler. Basically, all that does is just reduce the cost. And I remember leaving conversations on there going, look, mate, if you've got somebody that does it for that price, can I have their details?
Yeah.
Because I will then sell it for my price and just hire them to do it.
Yeah,
if you've got somebody will do it for that price, you know.
But you get what you pay for, don't you? So if you are going to go with someone cheap, you may as well go on Fiverr or something and pay for something and not get anything in return, really.
Well, you can start me off on that.
Oh God, honestly. But we used to use this bar.com, and the amount of weird requests we used to get through all the time. Now we just decided one month, we went, right, do you know what? We're going to accept every request. Now, for anybody who's not familiar with bark.com, what happens is basically someone will go onto the internet and they'll do a Google search, going looking for a web designer, and Bark will pop up. And it's a bit like a comparison site, I guess, a little bit, where they'll say, okay, this is my budget, this is what I want, and they send it as a request in. Now, that request then gets given to Bark, and Bark then fires it out to, I don't know how many web designers in the area, quite a lot. Now, we'll all get then an email to go, there's a request come from Bob who wants a website. And that's pretty much all the information we want. This is Bob's budget and this is when he wants it done. All right, cool. Now, if you want Bob's details, that's going to cost you 25 quid. So you've got me and 10, 20 other web designers that have just gone, all right, we'll give you 25 quid. So Bark have just made a fortune. They haven't done anything apart from like introduce us. And then all 20 of us will then smash that guy on the phone or the email until he buys something off us or whoever he buys off, and then he has to go around blocking everybody. And we just kind of go in. Now, you're not filtered on the requests you got through, because we just said, right, this month we're going to take on every single lead we get in, and we're just going to take it and we're going to buy it and we're going to contact them straight away. And the amount of, how do I say this lightly, ladies of the night, I guess, that wanted websites. And yeah. I'm not even sure, number one, that's legal. Number two, like I couldn't rank it on Google. Like, people Google searching that? Like, I have no idea. Have you not got your own forums and things like that? I just didn't get it.
I did one for a shop in my local town, and he has it's a head shop, so they sell wacky posters, Rizzler, and all that sort of jazz. But he had a room for sex toys. And he goes, need a website. I was like, yeah, no worries, mate. Known him a long time, DJed at his wedding. It's all good. So off we go. He didn't tell me anything. We go in, I turn up, he's like, upstairs, mate. I was like, yeah, no bad. You know, past the magic mushrooms, room out the back. I was like, oh, right. And he's got a room on shelves of all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, mate.
I know this person.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to mention his name. They rub your eyes sort of thing. I'm like, all right, I'll get the camera out. And so, 2 hours later, I photographed everything. Then meticulously cut them all out to put on a website, which took a while. And then we started building the website. And then halfway through, he phoned me up and he goes, Matt, you're going to have to come in now and chat. I was like, yeah, no worries. We've got to stop doing it. I'm like, why? He goes, because I've just looked at the legalities of selling this online. And I was like, what do you mean? Right. He goes, it's insane. I was like, he goes, because it crosses over so many boundaries. And like you just brought up, how then do you SEO that? How do you, because it's just a whole dangerous area. So it's just a section that says visit our shop. You're going to have to come in. We'll have a couple of photographs of the sort of stuff we do, but we're not going to word it, we're not going to talk about it. That was a while ago. I'm sure things have changed slightly now, but
did they have a shop?
Yeah.
And then they moved?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. They're a great shop.
They are a great shop.
Other things as well. That's what I mean. Let's move on really quick.
Yeah, real quick.
So we're talking about building a great website. We're talking about driving traffic to the website. And Maria, I do appreciate your comment. No personal research, I hope so. No personal research, obviously. Next thing we're going to talk about is affiliates, brand ambassadors, and influencers. So, Matt, what experience have you got using influencers? Is there anything that people need to be aware of if they are looking to use influencers or brand ambassador affiliates that is kind of maybe people overlook or don't think about?
First off, they're short-term. Should never think of it as a long-term thing. Things go in that fashion. An influencer or something along those lines is really just a fashionable thing that's happening at the moment. And so you have to keep on top of it. And whatever the buzzword is at the moment, that's what you stuff it with. That's where you're going with. Yeah. But the next thing you need to be aware of is that if you do that, then you could have a massive spike on your website. So if you're going to do that, take your time. I have a customer who did makeup, English Mineral Makeup, remember her name, Jeanette, and she sent some things to some people, Some people picked up on it. She did it all in the space of one weekend. Her website crashed over and over again for days. She had stuff apologizing on social media. We're phoning up GoDaddy going, please just give us some bandwidth. It's only for 3 days. You know, it was a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare. So if you're going to do that, be cautious. You don't know. If you send out 10, all 10 people might pick up on it and your website's going to get battered. So you want to use these short-term things. Some might work, some might not, obviously. But you want to drag them out over time. So if you've got 10 people you want to target, then you sort of overlap them by a couple of days. Just so that you can be aware, if any of them kick off and they're getting loads of hits, they've got a link on their YouTube channel, on their video, and that's what happened. She had one product, which is I think it was a foundation. Kick me if I've got it wrong, but I think it was a mineral foundation. And this lady picked up on it. There was a link on the underneath her YouTube video. And she was getting something like, at one point, like 3,000 hits per hour. And the website was just like, you've not been taking those sort of hits. We're not ready for that. Mm-hmm. One of the things that got us was the log file. It was 3 gigabytes in 24 hours. Normally, we're talking kilobytes for days. Yeah. But it crashed. One of the things that crashed the website was it couldn't write to the log file because it was 3 gigabytes in size.
Jeez.
You know, GoDaddy, you're like, mate, it's your log file. What are you talking? Ooh, sorry. Delete. You know, and it wasn't like logging errors. There's always, websites always log things that go wrong because of timeouts and whatever. So we were just normal little log errors, but it was just the amount of hits we're getting. We're generating so many. So yeah, you need to be prepared. If you're going to attack some or approach some influencers, you need to be prepared for it to kick off. But they're short-term things. I've run a few sort of blogging, sort of they accumulate. So we'd create a site that basically pulls blogs in from all over the place that are to a specific subject like fashionable furniture, and then we would put adverts amongst it and things like that. The search engines will let it fly for a month and then they're like, mate, what are you doing? And they just bin your accounts. They don't want you to do stuff like that. So you don't want to be doing that. You want to be attacking well-known fixed structures that already exist that aren't going to get attacked, if you know what I mean, by big companies.
It's a good point to bring up.
You'd be surprised if you're going to do influencers by their name is the key there. You don't know if they are going to influence a lot of people, so you don't want to put out a whole heap of stuff in one hit unless you are prepared for it. You know, you can be prepared for it. You could easily put your website on a server that expands with use. You know, Cloudflare do things like that. If you get a million hits in a minute, they will just, then you'll get a bill. The bill might not be very nice, but you won't have a website that falls over. So you can do it that way. You know, that's another way of doing it.
Yeah, we like them. Cloudflare, we use DigitalOcean. Love them. There again, it's kind of like a pay-as-you-go hosting site, so you pay for what you use, which is great.
No ISPs offer that, just the one that came to mind. You know,
it's a good way of doing it. I think it normally works out. If you've got a small business, it works out cheaper than your normal hosting. So
you'd be surprised. Yeah,
yeah. So it works out quite well. So if anybody works at Barclays and they happen to watch this, bet you wish you watched this a couple of weeks ago. But this is exactly it. If something's going to launch, if you're using influencers or you've got like a big launch, you're doing something's happening in the market and you're going to go, yeah, just like Barclays did, bounce back loans. You're going to get a lot of traffic. Should kind of be a little bit more prepared for it. We don't want websites falling over constantly, again, error pages, because it annoys lots of people. I would be interested to know how many customers they've lost through that, actually. But we won't get into that because then everyone will just start whinging on the chat about bloody Barclays.
No, I'm a long-time Barclays customer. I've got a list of complaints. You know, don't start me off on that one either. My wife has just texted me. The name of that boat was Scuba Craft.
Scuba Craft?
Yeah. There you go.
I'm going to check that out.
Why I married her. Brilliant.
But yeah, so I think influencers are a great thing to use. Obviously, do be prepared for traffic. That's a fantastic point from Matthew that you do need to be prepared that if you're going to use big influencers, try and if that's part of your marketing strategy, definitely kind of put a little bit of a gap between them.
You can also, you can also ask them. I mean, you know, you can be quite frank and go, hi, yeah, I'm going to send you this. If you really like this, before you just tell the world, would you let us know before you tell the world? Hmm. Because, you know, but that also, you'd be surprised how much that builds up a bit of a conversation.
Yeah.
Because that person then realizes that you're a real person and you're only small. And if, oh, yeah, I am quite big, it's a bit boosting to them. They might just come back to you and go, you know what, I do quite like your product, but I've got a couple of changes. Why don't you make those changes and then give it me back and I'll do it then?
Hmm.
Thank you very much. I'll take that information away. You know, it's about starting a conversation again. And it's all these things about, you know, starting a conversation. But definitely with people like the influencers, definitely.
And I would say that whatever you do, if you're going to use influencers, do not do the thing that all the loads of big brands are doing, and it's rubbish, which is where they say, right, guys, if you, the influencer will jump online, do a video and be like, right, if you want a can of grenades, then you can get it really cheap when you use my code 12345. That doesn't work. It doesn't work for the influencer. It doesn't, well, it works for the influencer. They get paid either way. But it doesn't work for you because not many people are actually going to go onto the website, go through all of that rigmarole, and then put in those details. This is where affiliate platforms come in really, really well. You set up the influencer as an affiliate on your website. Now, there's different platforms that you can plug into your website if you want to do it there.
Yeah.
Certain platforms have it already integrated. We use Kajabi for like the academy, and we've got an ambassador platform already built into that. So you can do it either way. It can be quite expensive, but it's a great return on investment. But yeah, set them up as an ambassador, and then all you do basically is send them a link. So they've got a link that they can, if they're a good influencer, they've got the swipe up anyway on things like Instagram and things like that. So they can do their videos and go, all you need to do is swipe up. And then you've got an arrangement. This is actually a way to get big influencers either free or really, really cheap. So they really believe in your product and you can sell that to them, that they really believe in it. You can set them up as an ambassador, as an influencer, as a affiliate. And then they get paid every time somebody buys something, which actually will normally benefit them more because they'll get more than their 3K a month, which is kind of what you would pay an influencer. That's the kind of average level. They're probably going to make more than 3K a month because they're getting that. And you've got a guaranteed return on investment because you don't have to pay them until you sell something. So I would say it's a really good way of doing it. We work with a lot of our affiliates like that. I think it's definitely the best way to go. We like it. So yeah, just have a think about that. You see the conversion rates are a lot higher when people don't have to start writing stuff in and finding your website themselves. They can just go.
It totally helps both of you. It's a joint effort in it helps both your marketing, basically. Yeah,
absolutely. Right, I think we've just about used up all our time, but what have we got here? Gonna stitch up Barclays. Oh, okay. No, so someone's saying the Barclays are really good. That's fine. We've got a question coming in. Is social media business pages replacing websites for some companies? Ooh. I wouldn't say so, personally.
It does depend on your business and where you're getting your customers from. If you're getting all your business through Facebook, then you can't walk away from it. I mean, my opinion has always been that, okay, here's one for you to try and explain this. I have some DJ friends, a couple of them are, I'm not going to name drop nobody, not the place for that at all. Some of them are quite famous, shall we say, and they put their stuff out on several platforms. So you got your SoundCloud, your MixCloud, all of it. And they still need a website because, no, don't call me now. Thank you. They don't need a website to put stuff on. They need a website for a hub.
Mm.
So, you know, if you, that is the place, whatever you're doing, the latest was going to be on that hub.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you fall out with one of the social media things, or if you don't use one of the platforms a bit, it doesn't matter. And if all your audience are only on that platform, that's no good. You know, so having a hub for all of it, is gone. You have to have a website, even if it's just a hub, just have links onto all the other things that you're doing. Doesn't have to be. And one of those is, guess what? Your Facebook business page. So is it a question of replacing? It should be just a question of why haven't we got one as well? Even if it's just a link back to the Facebook business page. It doesn't matter, but you still need to have both, really, I think.
And I would totally agree with what you said earlier on, Matthew, which was about regardless, even if you're selling something that's really Facebook related, like we do, that still doesn't mean that all of your customers are on Facebook. So having the website is going to be an advantage. And exactly that. Now, some people don't need to drive traffic to their website. It's not the purpose of it. They're not trying to kind of get loads of traffic, do online sales. Sometimes it is just a point of reference. If you go networking and you want to hand somebody a business card and it's got your website on it just so they can get more information because you haven't got time to explain it, then it's there as a point of reference for people to get more info. So use it for that as well. Not everybody wants people going to their Facebook page all the time. And because from a brand perspective, sometimes there's a very slightly different feel. So from our website, we'll have a slightly different feel to our Facebook because we'll be a bit more chilled out on Facebook, a bit more fun.
Our website, you're always constrained with all the other platforms. You're always constrained to what they are, what they're allowing you to do. Your website is your shop window. You can do whatever it is. If you sell books, so I've done this one. Had a lady that wrote books, sold books, and she had originally had a shopping site that had all the books on it. She sold them on Amazon as well, but she had a shopping site. So we changed her website, and all her website was a video of her sat in her garden on a little wooden stool with all nature around her reading a book in silence. And all it had was a link to her Amazon group. So you clicked on the link, they're all my books available on Amazon. So her website was just a video of her sitting there quietly in the sunshine reading a book.
I like that.
It doesn't have to. But the point is, he was like, why am I, I'm spending $2,500 on this complicated shopping site and I get very few. Yeah, don't bother. Yeah. Amazon do that. Use your website to sell you. And back to what I said originally, you know, it's about selling you. That suited her. Her quiet, gentle little books about country life suited the person then in the picture you saw when you arrived at website reading the book. That's what I want to be. I want to read that book there in that garden. It's a lifestyle website.
Absolutely. I really like that. It's a really good strategy. So yeah, thank you for a great question, Katarina. I'm going to throw in one last one, if that's all right, Matt, just because I think we might disagree on this one potentially.
Excellent.
And I love a good talking point. So Maria said, what is your opinion on blogs? I'm going to fire. While we've got that on Maria, I said what you mentioned earlier on wrong. I didn't realize. So you're going to stick up for Barclays. I've read Stitch. Stick up for Barclays because your account manager was fab.
Okay, fair enough.
They managed to get their
somebody's working their job properly. That's cool.
So yeah, so well done to that business manager. But yeah, so what is your opinion on blogs, Matt? We're going to go to you first.
I think that if you're using it to generate content, that's cool. So you're running a blog and it's on your website and you do something else and then you share that blog post on social media, that's cool. That's how a blog should be used. My mother looks at blogs for cross stitching and sewing. It's a legitimate thing. You know, there's a reason for that. You know, they're selling material and tools and sewing machines through that. You know, that's cool. That's a blog that works. I don't know if everybody needs a blog. It should maybe be treated / news. Don't think of it as a blog. Maybe it might help you if you're I've got a company who's an electrical company, Alpha Electrical, and their blog is basically their news. And then they can share that. That's cool. But it's about generating content. If you're using your blog to generate content, that's all good. Then it's up to you what you then do with it. Is that fair enough? How are you going to do it?
Maria's asked this question on purpose because she knows my thoughts on blogs. So I've said this before on the show. I hate blogs with passion. Now, take out a pinch of salt. There is a place for blogs. Now, if you can do a monthly blog or news feed, either or on your website, and then for me, there's a couple of key elements to it. Now, number one, every single blog needs to add value. Now, for all intents and purposes, what we're doing right now is a bit like a blog. We're putting content out there,
yep.
But one of the key things with this blog or vlog, basically, is that consistency. Now, this is every single day at the same time, sometimes twice a day at the same time as it would be. So people can kind of follow that as a blog should be followed. And it's because you've got consistency. People know when it's going to come out and they're kind of waiting for it. Where people get this wrong, I feel, with a lot of company websites is they create content for content's sake. So they've heard, we need to create a blog, so let's put a blog together and whack it on our website. It might be about a new product, could be about, a case study or something. Now, not all of those things are going to be particularly relevant or value adding to the customers, in which case they won't really read it. Now, this is where it comes back to time with me, and this is where I look at it from a business perspective and a return on investment. Now, if you're going to write a blog, now, if you're doing that as a business owner or an individual inside your business or your marketing team, then that's going to take up, to write a good blog, in all honesty, takes quite considerable time. For most people that when in the agency when we used to do blogs and in agencies I worked with in the past, we would normally allow our team members probably around 5 hours to a whole day to write a good blog, source images, optimize it, and all the rest of it, and then get it signed off by the client and uploaded onto the website. Now, that's what it would take. Now, that's the same. When you're paying an agency, it's bloody expensive. It's actually cheaper if you do it in-house, but you haven't got the expertise or anything. But if you're paying an agency, you're looking at hundreds of pounds. Now, if you're doing it yourself, you're looking at whatever the hourly rate is for the individual that is writing it times 5. So if you've got someone on £20 an hour, it's cost you £100. Mm. Now, I would say to everybody, where we go back to talking about data-driven earlier on, is check out your analytics. Go onto your Google Analytics and look at your blog pages and see how many people are actually looking at them. Because from experience, what we've found when we take on clients that have got websites and they do these blogs normally every month, because that's the minimum of what you're supposed to do, apparently, and these rubbish blogs. And they'll go, right, okay, 18 people have looked at the blog, and everybody who looked at the blog left the website from the blog. They didn't go anywhere else after and look at your product or anything else. Therefore, we would instinctively kind of say the chances of you actually selling anything was probably zero, but it's cost you, because they went through an agency, £795 for that blog, right?
Yeah.
Supposed to be very well written, but actually you've just spent a lot of money and got no return on investment. So I would say be very, very careful with it in that sense. Unless you're going to do it consistently and there's a way of adding value, then I would be very careful. This is the only reason I don't like blogs for that reason.
Yeah. They don't work in every... They're not for everybody. You've got to treat... It's got, like I said at the beginning, it's got to be used for you. So another a good example of being used for you would be if you are... I've got a guy that he installs really expensive kitchen worktops. So people buy these really expensive kitchen worktops, but when they get delivered to then the average carpenter, the normal carpenters, they don't want to cut them because they are worth thousands. And if you get it wrong, it's done. And so he ends up getting hired to just go around these jobs doing that. So his blog is him doing each one. So in his blog, he has the material that he's cutting, the brand name. He's got where he is in the country and how well it went. Now, some of these things go wrong, and he has been very honest in his blog. And the comments on the ones that went wrong are amazing because they're, what did you do? And the customers replied, oh, it was a nightmare. There was a flaw in the material. You could see it. And people are learning. So that then there was one, and I can't remember the name, Minerva. I don't want to say that. It wasn't them. There was a material that they used. And the company learned from it. The company were actually like, what went wrong? And they could see on his blog post the return information, and everybody learned from it. They changed their product. Mm-hmm. They didn't lose face. Everybody won out of it, literally, from an accident and a mistake. Everybody won. So, and that fills up his SEO on his website. So then he tags his blogs to what type of material. So these are all our stone finishes. These are all the melamine ones. And they all... So that blog is totally working for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not contradicting what you're saying. You're totally right. It has to be consistent. It has to be used for what you're doing.
That's quite a fun story to watch, though. If he's doing that every day and something different every day, there's something for people to kind of go, I wonder what you do today. There's a bit of excitement there. Where it's, we've got a new product and we're talking about Ben, who's employee of the month. No one gives a shit. but no one does.
So. That's right. I mean, it's nice to know. Put a funny picture up. Is it his birthday? Oh, you made him work on his birthday. Oh, that's great. Well done.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, you're right. I mean, if you're going to spend, you know, 15 grand on a worktop and you want somebody to come and cut it for you, and the guy that you've just given 150 grand to build your house won't cut it, you want somebody who's going to cut it and not make a mistake. So then when you arrive on his website, however you get there, and then you go to the expensive worktop section, and then you can see underneath that he's cut 40 or 50 of these, we're done here, mate, you're hired.
Yeah.
And that's totally a blog working for that person. You know, that totally works for him.
But that would really work.
Doing it all the time.
Good comment from Maria. Totally agree with Stefan. For us, the only worth doing when we're doing a product launch or info on how we work safely. So more information, new section. Yeah, well, if you're talking about how it works safely, then you're adding value to people. They can actually get something there that's tangible, which is really, really good. So, yeah. Matt, we're going to have to leave it there for the day. Thank you so much for joining me. Loads and loads of great content in there. Thanks to everybody who's commented. Thanks to everybody who's watched. And thanks to everybody who's watching on the replay. Like I said, just pay it forward. That's all we ask on the show, so we can keep doing them. And that's that if you know anybody who can benefit from anything we spoke about today on the show, which is everybody, then please do tag a couple of people in the comments or share the show with them. We'd really appreciate it. Matthew, you've been absolutely fantastic. Really appreciate it. Just for anybody that tuned in late, can you just give them a quick reminder of who you are, what you do, and most importantly, how they can get in touch with you in the future if they need your services?
Hi, I'm Matthew Sparks. I am a developer, designer. I do branding, logos, websites, video editing, animations. I make IoT bits of electronics, and of course, websites like we've been talking about today. If you search for me on the internet, you will find me. I've been on there a long time, but my website is, in fact, my name, MatthewSparks.co.uk. It'd be great to hear from you. Got any questions about what we're talking about today? I'm happy to advise anybody. I love what I do for a living.
Fantastic. Awesome, Matthew. Thank you so much. Everybody else, we will be back tonight with another show, 8 p.m. Once again, we're jumping across the pond. So we've got a fantastic American person on for us today. I think they're in Miami, if I'm right. So tune in for that. And guys, if you've got any questions for Matthew or myself, then please do drop them in the comments. We will keep an eye on them and we'll try and get them answered for you after the replay. That's it. That's it for today. Well, that's it for now. Until later. Matt, once again, thank you very much to everybody else. We'll see you tonight. Peace out.
See you later.
And the show dance.